Here with myself, that's Diana Azam, and also I'm joined by Adam Mistry.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome back, Adam.
It's good to be back.
Who needs a little introduction?
Yes.
So today's topic of discussion is going to be on Sagittarius. So the effects of Sagittarius are most pronounced during the month or during the dates of the 23rd of November to the 21st of December. So we haven't been going through each of the zodiac signs, a couple of weeks ago we had Carly Samish come on and talk to us about Gnostic astrology. Which was a fantastic overview. What we want to do is to study the esoteric aspects of the zodiac. So working to understand the energetic influence of this time in particular. Mm. Hopefully we can also investigate the others at different times whereby certain cosmic influences are more stronger in us. Yes, so the energies of Sagittarius have a particular flavour.
Yes.
And influence that affect anyone.
Yeah. Affects all people of all signs.
Yes.
So even though if you're not a native of Sagittarius, that energy will actually affect you.
Yes. So starting, with one of the characteristics of it being a fire sign.
Yeah, well, we all know that Sagittarius is a fire sign, but it's the interesting thing about Sagittarius is that it's the last of the fire signs. So you can look at it this way, Aries being the first of the fire signs, it comes into creation, it comes in kind of blindly looking for the knowledge, if you will, looking for the mystical knowledge, but it kind of being blind, it kind of just bounces around and kind of hits and damages itself, like bashes into walls. We all know Aries.
Knocks things over.
We all know one Aries or another. And then in the next fire sign, there's Leo, which is more kind of consolidated. It's where the ego has more kind of come into pronouncement. That the Leo, the center of attention, the sun. It's like was it more singular? More, it's aimed, in kind of not, I don't want to say inwards as in into the spirit, but I mean it can be into the spirit, but it's more into the kind of the ego. Whereas Sagittarius is finally at the end of the fire sign, where it's, you can see it's actually kind of detaching. It's not just animalistic. It's, the symbol of what is Sagittarius is the centaur. Mm-hmm. So half man, half beast. So it's kind of that separation from the ego in this case, the spirit and matter actually separating. So it's that force, that fire is actually being aimed for a higher cause.
Okay. So a bit more about this dual aspect of the centaur being, for people that don't know, the symbol most commonly is the centaur, half man, half horse. Mm, the bottom half is the horse.
Yep.
And the top half is the man.
I wonder if there are reverse centaurs. They never talk about them, but yeah. But well,
and striking, and has the bow and the arrow ready to hit.
Yeah, and it's very interesting in like modern day things. They actually just, when they simplify the sign, they actually just completely cut out the man and the horse, and sometimes they just have the arrow, the aim, the ideal of Sagittarius. But when we talk about the dualism of Sagittarius, because it's very interesting, you see, most of the signs are very singular, but there are some signs that have a dualistic nature, of the main one being Gemini, but you can see dualism in things like Pisces. Like a Pisces will have a very interesting with a lot of the practices are usually just done sitting in meditation positions, but I always like, there are some very esoteric practices where we get into odd positions, and I always kind of wondered why. And then one day I had a realization that in the end, the human body itself is kind of like an antenna. If you think of, if we think of a radio, like you're listening to radio right now, hello. But if you think of what a radio does, what does a radio do? It is, a mechanical object. It's a physical object. You can touch it. But a radio actually gathers, it's an antenna for invisible forces. It gathers these invisible radio waves and actually converts them into, what is it, sound? Sound that you can hear, our voices, flow through the air, magically through the air, and then come to an antenna. And so with these practices that we have, it's very interesting. So with this practice that we have in Sagittarius, what we're doing is we're making our, turning our body into an antenna to capture these specific Jupiterian energies.
Oh, that's a very interesting analogy or metaphor there, because I'm just imagining, you know, what you do with the radio, or at least with the old school radios.
You tune it.
Yes. Or you move the antenna. You move the antenna exactly. In a particular position to capture, you know, the best resolution. I don't think that's the word. But, yeah, and we are doing exactly the same thing. Yeah. So, okay, there's something to think about. Yeah, that's such a fantastic topic. It makes me think of the runes as well, and the runes is another topic that is...
But you think about in all exoteric traditions, a lot of them will have something where they get body... like yoga is all about weird body positions, and, you know, Tai Chi. Mm. A lot, like, people say that, you know, Tai Chi does have a combat aspect, but there are other types of Tai Chi which you look at and it's, you go, that's not for fighting. Mm. And it's very esoteric positions, and that's what those positions are actually meant for. You get in those positions and you breathe in them, and it's, you're actually collecting a specific energy in nature and pulling it into your body. And we know the body acts like an esoteric battery in that sense, and we know bodies are like batteries because, you know, we've all kind of, you know, run on a carpet and then gone up and zapped one of our siblings. The body holds a charge, and so it actually holds esoteric energy. And so in this, we kind of gather that Jupiterian energy and we use it to awaken our clairvoyance.
Okay, well, there you go. You've just been listening to Hulse Planet, Jupiter, the bringer of jollity. Hope you're all feeling jolly. Are we feeling jolly,
Adam? Yes, I'm definitely feeling jolly.
Yes.
So is the guy called Hulse Planet?
No, that's
the production company.
Yeah, it's the name of the CD because goes through all the different planets, and it's quite useful.
That's a name drop advertisement.
Yeah. Yes. There you go.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, Jupiter, the bringer of jollity. So Jupiter is the the
Roman Olympian spirit.
That's the main. Like symbol archetype of the Sagittarian sign. Mm. So Jupiter is the symbol of the being, and the being is in Gnosis, the being is understood in many different ways. It can be used to understand our higher self, our divinity, our God. Anything really, that the universe. Some people say, the universe, but this is
the universe within.
The universe within is, in essence, our being, and we have many different parts of our being. But the main archetype for the being
is kind of like that king on the throne, that Roman Jupiter, in a sense.
Yeah, that ruler. So Jupiter, or the force of Jupiter, is related to ruling and also politics.
Yes, all kind of those forms of kind of finance and economics and religion all kind of fall under that, into that realm of Jupiter. But it's very interesting. I just want to go back to that point that you were talking about about our being, because talking about Sagittarius again, the archer who has ideals, it's the ideals that the kind of Sagittarius aims for that become the point of Sagittarius. And so when you look at a life of a Sagittarius, if we look at all of our lives, if we're not grounded in our passions, what do we do with ourselves? And so we have to move those passions onto kind of higher ideals, we have spiritual passions in a sense. Mm. And it's that higher spiritual passion, that highest yearning is what? It's actually to stand in front of our own Jupiter, if you will, our own kind of higher self. It's that meeting with the higher self. That is the highest ideal. So in a sense, a Sagittarius may not know it, but that's what their life is kind of being guided towards. They want to actually... That's why a lot of Sagittarians are actually found in religion, because they actually want that experience. They want to meet their own internal God or their internal Buddha or their internal Atman or holy guardian angel or whatever term you use. It's the intimacy that kind of guides them, that gives them fire in their life.
Yeah, that's our highest ideal that anyone can ever reach, isn't it? Even, you know, someone that's not religious.
Indeed.
If they're tapping into the core of their being, they're going to fulfill their greatest potential. Who cares what it's called? Yeah. It's a matter of connecting into that. And that force brings us real happiness. That's why I really liked the name of that song, Jupiter, the bringer of jollity,
yes.
Because it's being brings us happiness.
Indeed.
It's our true self. We're doing, you know, we're being true to that, and therefore it's going to make us happier. We're hopefully have less contradictions. So working
in a way, the being is truth. So even like, as you were talking about, you don't have to be religious. There are even kind of, you know, there are even atheists who kind of, they, even though they don't worship anything, you could say that they worship, inverted commas, they worship truth in a sense. That's what they're all about. And so the really the thing that's permanent, the thing that's true, is that kind of that esoteric point, that that highest ideal is all encompassed by Jupiter.
Yes. Okay. So there's another interesting aspect of Jupiter, of Sagittarius, which is having that wisdom. So that wisdom of our being, that wisdom that we've attained through the practice, through developing the clairvoyance, by really, you know, working on the passions that we have, we are able to develop a real instinctive knowledge that is mixed or molded with the spiritual, and that there's the intuitive understanding of things, of mysticism. And there's an interesting point here about intuition being far more superior than being intellectual. So understanding, you know, mysticism or life intuitively is far, far better than intellectually.
It's kind of like getting in touch with your emotions in a way. It's like, you know, all nowadays we kind of have a tendency to kind of over, like, hammer in the intellect, like at schools. You know, we get kids up in front of computers as soon as possible, and we really, really hammer in that intellect. And it kind of, people lose, they don't even, like, people nowadays, they don't even know that, like, they don't even have a concept that you can gain information from any other source than the intellect. Like, we have an intellect, and through the, like, the senses, we gain information and we compare, and what is it, mold kind of concepts in our mind. But we actually, the human being actually has other kind of faculties, per se. And so there's that the intuitions are things that you kind of feel. And you know you can get things through feelings, because you feel emotions. Like, if you're in a line at a bank, and, like, you know, there's a really long line, and someone in the middle of the line just bursts into tears, well, you know, everyone's not going to just, you know, stand straight and keep looking forward. It's going to affect people around. Like, that strong emotion may actually make other people feel sad. Maybe other people will start crying. Maybe some people will get angry. Like, people will have a reaction. Like, you know, if, say, a friend has had an argument with, like, their partner, and you walk into their house without knowing, you kind of walk in, you may not even see anyone at first, but you know, oh, something's gone down. You know, you really feel emotions, you feel impressions off of people, you gain impressions off of people. So it's like there are actually other ways to kind of gain information, if you will, from the world. We're not just, you know, a brain and a sack of water, you know, floating in a bag of meat. We actually have these other kind of, what is it? Yeah, other faculties. So we have an intellect, we have an emotion, we have an instinctual center. So if something comes, like, you know, talking about politicians, a politician can say something that sounds right, but like in your heart you can be like, oh, he's tricking me, he's deceiving me. Like, lawyers and politicians are very good at doing that. So this is how another way we can actually use to kind of find the truth. Is it doesn't just have to sit right with the intellect, it has to feel right in the heart. You have to feel it in your belly, in your gut, as well as your heart and as well as your mind. Everything needs to be balanced and in sync for that to happen.
Yeah, going back to that analogy of the radio, the you know, we have many antennas. There's the emotional antennas that we have picking up stuff all the time. We're not even cognizant of. So, yeah, that's really a good point. So, yeah, developing that intuitive understanding, particularly of mysticism, mystical ideas. So when we study the tarot, the Kabbalah, and astrology, which is, you know, the science that we're talking about in this program, the Sagittarius is also related to the Hermit, which is actually the card number 9 of the tarot. We don't have much time to go into tarot or numerology. It's a very big topic, and it may be something that we can cover, you know,
on a later date.
Yes, in future shows.
So but keep tuning in.
Yes, that's right. Don't turn that dial. Yeah, the Hermit, so he is the wise man. He carries the light within, you know, he keeps that light quite safe and secure. So he's got that wisdom.
He's the guardian of the fire.
Yes. And the fire, you know, is the symbol is, you know, relates very much to wisdom, to force.
It's that ideal, that the head of the arrow, which is flaming. That arrow which is held by the archer, which he shoots off into infinity.
Yes, hopefully it reaches its target, given or depending on how well we work on those lower passions. Mm. Yes. Right, so that's pretty much all we have time for. So if this program or any of these programs have inspired you to want to learn more about Gnosis, then I do know that there are some information nights coming up. The next one is going to be held in the Parry Hills Library, so that's Wilkinson Road, at 7 p.m. on Monday the 8th of December. So this is just an introduction, so one night, a talk followed by a short meditation. If you're interested and you want to hear, you want to hear more about what Gnosis is, and hopefully if you live near the area, or even if you don't live near the area, please do come along. I believe there's tea and coffee and biscuits provided. So, yes, hope to see you there. And thank you for joining us on the program today. Thank you, Adam, for coming on.
It's my pleasure.
And we'll be back next week, same time.